I love the Lord this morning. Let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 138. Psalm chapter 138, verses 1, 2, and 3. And somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house this morning. Psalm chapter 138, verses 1, 2, and 3. A psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cry, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Amen. Strength in my soul. Everybody say that. Strength in my soul. Strength in my soul. I want to talk about that a little bit here this morning because we need to have the strength of God in our lives, and we need to have enough strength to make it all the way. Praise God. Let's pray and bless the word here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings here today. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you thanks. And we ask you to anoint your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's focus our attention on the word of God here this morning. And when we look at it here, the strength that David was talking about, this is a psalm of David, and he was writing about the strength of the soul. And I don't know if you've ever considered this or not. We think in terms of strength, in mental strength. We think of it in our intellectual strength or our physical strength. But David was talking about the strength of our soul. And I've had the privilege to meet people in life that are very strong. If you just look around a little bit, I know there's been some folks that I've seen that have arms that big around, and it's all muscle. And you look at them, you have to take a double take and say, is that really what I think I see? And big, strong people. And that's how strength is measured by our world. Strength is measured in the physical strength of the individual. From the neck down, as I would say, the strength that we have. And meaning that the true strength that we have can only be found in our human body. That's how the world looks at it, or in our financial strength or our material strength. But in God's kingdom, things are different. The Word of God lets us to know that things are different in the kingdom of God, and the strength that we have is not in our physical person, it is not in our financial situation, but it rests solely and completely upon the strength of your soul. Amen. The strength of the soul. And many a strong man has failed because of a lack of character or spiritual integrity. And yet on the other side, many a weak man has succeeded because of strength and character on the inside. And so strength is not measured by the human physique, but it is measured, true strength is measured by the strength of your soul. And David talked about this, and he talked about where it comes from. Let's look at it a little bit more in depth here this morning. David was the king of praise. He was known as a man who had a heart after God's heart. And it's very important today how we worship the Lord. And a lot of times we look at worshiping the Lord just as outward noise and praise from our lips, and that's very important. But that's not really what it's talking about. David said here, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Everybody said whole heart. whole heart. You know, we use the term sometimes that we are half-hearted. Have you ever heard that term? We're half-hearted. I'm half-hearted about this, that, or the other. Well, I've seen folks that have worshiped the Lord that way, half-heartedly. But David said, I want to worship God. I want to give God praise with my whole heart. And so we got to look at it here today and look and see what that means, the whole heart. It talks about the part of man, the soul of man. And in fact, the greatest commandment says that we should love God with our heart. Amen. And that's not all, but the heart is a major part of loving God and serving God. Praise the Lord. And so the whole heart indicates to us this morning that there are different parts of our heart. And the heart has got to come together so that it becomes a whole heart. Amen. And the heart's got many areas, and one of them is emotion. Everybody said emotion. Some folks worship the Lord just with emotion. But the problem with that is that you're not going to feel that emotion all the time. There are going to be times when you don't feel like worshiping the Lord or praising the Lord with your life, and it will fall short. But worship is not perfected simply by emotion. There's another part of your heart, and that is called love. Everybody said love. Love is another part of our heart, and the feelings of love, again, are not enough in themselves. We can worship because we love, but if circumstances turn to a bad way, then we will not worship like we should or praise God or serve God like we should. You can have feelings for someone and feelings of love, but if you never express that love, then it really, really doesn't mean a whole lot. Then there's another part of your heart, and it is called the intellect. Amen. Everybody said the intellect. That's the mind. That's the thoughts. That's the logic. That is the part of your mind that gives you the reasoning that you have. And so the intellect is the part of your heart that knows why it loves somebody or why it loves something. Amen. It's not based upon emotion alone, but it does have emotion. It is not based upon love alone, but it does have love. It is not based upon intellect alone, but it does have intellect. Amen. And David had come to the place where his praise unto the Lord was much more than just a religious gathering or a coming together for a religious service or a ritual or an offering. Those things can be done very mechanically. Amen. We can go through a mechanical service, can't we? Well, praise the Lord. We really can. Because we have our schedule, as it were. We have our program, as it were. And then if something isn't quite right with the program, then there is no more worship and there is no more prayer. Amen. Maybe what we have here is a tremendous opportunity to get to a stronger place in our walk with God so that we can praise God while we're driving down the road in our car. Amen. Don't have to have some things to worship God because I'm doing it with my whole heart. Amen. And David had come to this place where it was more than these things, but he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Amen. And we have to ask the question this morning, why do we love to worship God? And why do we worship in this area of love? Well, it's talked about in here, and David said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. And this is Psalms 138, verse 1, 2, and 3. Before the gods I will praise thee, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Amen. And so that word loving kindness, it's not just love, but it is kindness that goes along with the love. Amen. It is love that is given to us out of a heart, the heart of God that is tender towards his people. Amen. The Bible talks about his tender mercies. Amen. It talks about his loving kindness. God is not just merciful. God is not just kind, but it is a tender kindness. It is a loving kindness. Amen. And so it expresses to us how God feels about us. I'm very excited about the truth of how God feels about me. Amen. And if you're going to live for God, you got to get to that place. Well, praise the Lord. You got to get to the place where you understand that God loves you. Amen. That he is for you no matter what you've done and no matter where you're at. God loves you and God cares about your life. Amen. He really does. And it tells us here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, we love him. Everybody said, I love him. Do you really love him this morning? We need to know what that means, and we need to know how that is played out. We love him because he first loved us. And so there is that word because. And we have to come to the place in our walk with God, in our personal walk with the Lord, where we say, why do I love him? Why do I love God? Why am I serving God? Why am I coming to the house of God for worship and for praise? Amen. There's a reason. Everybody has a reason. There is a reason behind everything that we do, right? There's a reason behind everything that we do, and that reason talks a lot about our motives. It talks a lot about the sense of value that we have. It talks a lot about our intellect, about our heart, about our emotion, and about our love. And so when we approach this word, why, we have to answer that word and then say, Why do I praise him? Why do I serve him? Why am I doing what I am doing? And if it's anything less than a whole heart, then we've got some work to do. Amen. And we've got to dig a little bit deeper. But John said we love him because he first loved us. I didn't come up with this. God came up with this. Amen. He brought me into this world. I didn't bring myself into this world. Amen. Praise God. He knocked on my heart's door. I didn't knock on his door. Praise the Lord. He came to me where I at my point of need. That's where he came to me. And I didn't come to him, but he came to me. He loved me first. He went to Calvary before I ever came to an altar. Amen. He did it before I even thought about doing it. Amen. And this is a tremendous love. If you talk about the love of God and the favor of God toward men, it's incomprehensible. It is a love that supersedes any wisdom or knowledge that we might have. Amen. But what we do need to do is to look at the love of God and to say, God, I don't know why you picked me, but I'm so thankful that you did. I'm so thankful that you did. And the trials of this life and the setbacks of life and all of the things that we have to deal with as individuals, they become very small when we look at God's love, the loving kindness of the Lord, and what he has done for us. Has God blessed anybody here this morning? Really, has God blessed you this morning? I'm so thankful for the blessings of the Lord this morning. He's been so faithful. He's been so good to me. Amen. And he has been to you as well. Praise God. And Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 16 and 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. And you can go to Ezekiel 16 today if you like after the service. And the Lord was speaking to Israel here about their origin, where they came from, and where they started. You know, it's very easy after you have given your life to God. And I look out here this morning and I see so many blessings. I see so many good things that God has done for you. I look at my life and I say, I am so very blessed. I'm so thankful for the blessings of the Lord. But I have seen it where that word because I serve the Lord or I love the Lord, because that word because comes about because he has blessed me with this, that, or the other. Amen. And the blessings can sometimes become a cursing in our lives if we're not careful about this matter. Amen. We need to examine why we love God. Amen. We need, as individuals, you and I, we need to examine and say, I love him because. Amen. I love him because. And the answer to that word is going to be very telling in your own personal life. Amen. He said, your mother, you know what? You start talking about my mama and my daddy. Now you're talking about things that I really love. And the Lord got down right to where they were living, and he said, your mother was a Amorite, or was it the other way around? He said, your father was an Amorite. Those were heathens. And thy mother, a Hittite. They were heathens. And in fact, at one point in time in the life of King Saul, the Lord said, go out and fight against Ammon and destroy everything and don't bring any spoils back. You remember that story? God was completely against the Amorites because of what they had done to him as the children of Israel passed through the wilderness. They fought against Israel. And yet, Israel's father was from the country of Ammon, and their mother was a Hittite. They fought against the Hittites. And really, when you get into the matter here this morning, whether you've been raised in the church and that's all you know is the house of God, whether or not that's taken place, or whether you've come from the world, when we look back, we go back in our lineage, we're going to find out that our mother was a Hittite, our father was an Amorite. And it might be grandma and grandpa, it might be great-grandma and grandpa, wherever it is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all come from the world into the church. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. You may not have been on the drug scene or all of that, but it doesn't really matter. Sin is sin, and we've all come from a long ways off. God has really blessed us here today to be in the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. And when the Lord saw Israel, if you want to read Ezekiel 16, when the Lord saw Israel, they were as a child. Amen. This Amorite and this Hittite got together, and a child was conceived, and when it was born, they threw it out into the open field. They never washed it. They never did anything to bless this child. There was nothing that they wanted with this child, and so they just threw it out into an open field. Very, very horrible scenario or story that we read about the beginning of Israel. And the Lord said, I pass through the field. And we know the field is the world. And I passed through the field, and when I saw you, your time was the time of love. I fell in love with you, just as Pharaoh's daughter fell in love with Moses. He was of that despised group of people, but she fell in love with him. And you know, love looks over an awful lot of stuff. Praise the Lord. Real, genuine love looks over an awful lot of things, and it says, I accept you. I'm going to do something positive in your life. I'm going to bless you. And he said he picked him up out of the field, picked up this child, this little man child, and took it home and washed it and swaddled it, wrapped it all up, and began to nourish it and feed it until it became great. Amen. And then when they became great, the Bible says they were very beautiful, their hair was grown. They were very beautiful. They were decked out with all sorts of material things. And then at that point in time, they began to trust in their beauty. They began to trust in their blessings. And they said, we're really good. And they forsook the Lord. They did not look at that word because. Amen. They never got to the place where they said, I love the Lord because. And actually, they forsook the Lord, and the Lord had to bring judgment upon them because of that. Amen. And really, when you look at it, when you encounter the Lord, or when you did encounter the Lord, you encountered the highest form of love. Amen. The highest form of love. And David said, I will praise you for I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Amen. You know what makes it so exciting is that he really does love me. That's exciting to have somebody that really loves you. And it gives you security in your heart, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. People that don't have anyone that loves them are very lonely, very secluded people. And they have to deal with a lot of depression and situations like that. But God loves me. You know, there's another scripture that says, if God be for us, I can actually say God is for me. Amen. It gives me comfort today. It gives me peace in my heart. It lets me to know that I am accepted. Amen. That there is somebody that loves me so much that his thoughts are to me. The thoughts of the Lord are to his people every moment of every day. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows the path that you're traveling down. And so when we come to him, we have to deal with that word because. I love the Lord because. Amen. And just like in friendship, I want to talk a little bit about that in the service tonight. But when we talk about friendship, you know, I've seen people that have abandoned the Lord. And I think about that, and I think, you know, it really hurts when people abandon us. I wonder how the Lord feels when his people abandon him. Amen. He's not an impersonal God that doesn't have emotion and feeling, but God does have emotion because love, part of love is emotion. Amen. And God loves us. I don't ever want to let him down. Amen. David used his emotions to praise the Lord. He did it with his whole heart, and he did it with emotion. And real love, when you say, I love the Lord because, and you get down to it, it is because I love him. Amen. I've examined him. I've looked at him. I've considered this situation, and I love the Lord, and I just am really excited about him in my life. Praise God. Are you really excited about the Lord in your life? It can't be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night experience. It's got to be a love that is in your deepest of hearts. Amen. And David, of course, used his emotion. I've seen people that use their emotion. I pastored on the East Coast, and there was a man in our church that went on a couple of 30-day fasts, and when service time came, he would shout and he would run the aisles and got very emotional. But we found out that when he went home after church, he would beat his wife. Now, I want you to know today, we got to get this right. If we're going to serve God, we got to get it right. Amen. We've got to know why. I've got to deal with this because word. Amen. I go to church because. Amen. I love the preaching because. I love my brother and my sister because. I love the Lord because. And the answer to that question is going to be very telling. David danced before the Lord very foolishly, the Bible says. In man's eyes, he was very foolish, but it was because of love. And when you really fall in love with someone, something happens when you're around them. Amen. Something happens when you're around them. You don't talk down to them. You don't try to hurt them with your words or your actions, right? You don't. Because love is your motivating factor. Amen. And when you get around someone that really loves you and someone that you really love, there's a feeling, there's an emotion. And of course, we all have our different emotions. Emotions are things that demands communication. Praise the Lord. It demands communication. We have to communicate how we really feel. I don't believe that we can be silent when it comes to love. Amen. When it comes to how we feel about other people. And, that person that you liked in grade school, but you never told them that you liked them. Amen. And after you get older, you tell them how you felt, and they were like, really? They didn't really understand how you felt because there was no communication. Amen. One of my friends told me that his son liked a girl, but he'd never talked to her yet. And he said, well, son, if you're ever going to get to know her, you got to talk to her. Amen. But there was this inhibition. But I'll guarantee you, once the door opens, there's going to be a flood of talk that takes place. Y'all are looking so stern here this morning on the front row. Amen. The day is going to come. Amen. The day is going to come. And once you open the door to communication, all of a sudden, emotion rises up within you. You know what? We cannot afford, we cannot, if the word because in our mind and our heart is right, we cannot, it will not allow us to come to the house of God and be silent. Well, praise the Lord. I know it's a little bit different this morning, but I'm telling you, there has to be an expression. There has to be an expression of the love that you have, because true love or real love evokes emotion. Amen. And when you fall in love with someone, something happens when you're around them. And when it gets to the place where you say, I love you. Amen. I'm telling you what, something, it really gets ramped up right about there. Amen. When you say, I love you for the first time. I'm telling you what, when you get to the place where you've examined this relationship, where you've examined this person, or you've examined the Lord, and you look at that word because, and if you ever get into a relationship and you say, well, I love her or I love him, and someone says, why? And you shrug your shoulders and say, I don't know. You better bail out real quick. Amen. Or you better stop and examine your measurement of what love really is all about. Amen. I love you because there are some things that I've examined, and I can say I love you. Amen. And so many jump into love, and they really don't understand what it's really all about. Praise God. If you're married this morning, you need to express, maybe I shouldn't say this because it'll put you guys on the spot or you ladies on the spot, but if you don't ever say, I love you, then your relationship is going to start to diminish. You know why? Because when there's no communication, then death begins to creep into the relationship. And Israel experienced that when they ceased to praise the Lord and to, you know, in the Old Testament, offer offerings unto the Lord, then they fell in love with other gods. And they began to worship other gods, and they fell away from the Lord and fell into judgment. Amen. If you just tell someone that you love them because you're supposed to, you're going to be looked at as a fake. Amen. And you might fool some people, but I'm telling you this morning, you're never going to fool God. Amen. And excitement always produces emotion. And emotion is a good thing when you're worshiping the Lord. Emotion is a good thing when you fall in love with someone or you have a very close friend. Emotion is a good thing, and everybody has emotion. Now, it doesn't look like very many of you have emotion here this morning, but you do. If something comes along and blesses your life really good, you're not going, if someone came up to you today and said, I've got $10,000 cash and I'm going to give it to you right now, very few of you would say, well, thank you, I appreciate that. Have a nice day. No, I don't think very many of us would do that. I think that we would get very excited about that blessing, about you know what God or what that individual has done for us. And so every one of us have got emotion, and of course we all express it in different ways. Amen. Somebody said praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. David, of course, was very emotional, and he danced before the Lord. They went six paces, and then they offered sacrifices. Went another six paces and offered sacrifices and so on. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Now, you got to remember, he was a warrior. We couldn't expect the 90-year-old folks to be doing that. Right? There's just some things that you're not able to do physically. But David was able to do it physically. Praise God. Some of you young men, I always picking on these young men on the front row, but that's all right. You got the energy and the stamina and the strength to worship God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. Some of us older ones, oh, Lord, help us. Brother Reed's talking about getting old, and I said, oh, I'll trade places with you. Well, you know, once you hit 30, then everything starts going downhill. Oh, Lord, we're going to have to pray for Brother Reed. We're going to have to pray for him. Amen. But I understand that. But We was at the nursing home yesterday having Bible study, and somehow or another somebody piped up and said, she's 93, and then somebody else said, well, I'm 91, and after a while I said, well, how old are you, and how old are you, and one of the gentlemen that was there, he said, well, how old are you? He said, you're in your mid-50s, right? Yeah. He was trying to get a quarter from me or something. I said, no, sir. And he said, 60. I said, no, sir. And I told him how old I'm going to be on my next birthday. Amen. 64. And he said something along the lines that he would trade places with me. Amen. But sometimes we look at our limitations and we say, well, because I'm limited, then I cannot express myself like I want to. That's not true. You can express yourself in a way that you look at as something that comes from your heart. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, because the day is going to come. Lord, help us this morning. I'm going to get off on some things that I don't need to be getting off on to, because there's a rabbit that just took off somewhere. But you know what? When you first get married, oh, Lord, it's perfume and it's all good smells. Amen. Lights are flashing, bells are ringing, stars are, birds are falling out of the sky when you walk by, and all sorts of amazing things take place. But you get a little bit older. Some of you are smiling this morning. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's not perfume anymore. It's Vicks and liniment. Amen. Praise God. But if the smells in your house is because of Vicks that you put on you the night before, that doesn't mean that you give up on expressing your love. Praise the Lord. Got to get a little bit creative. Amen. And say, I just want you to know that I really love you. We was at Brother and Sister Johnson's 50th wedding anniversary, and that's quite a milestone, 50 years. Sister Johnson got up, and she was talking about this, that, and the other. Excuse me. And they were talking about when they first got married, and they had an argument. And it's hard for me to believe that Brother and Sister Johnson would get into an argument, but they did. He was really upset, and he was laying in the bed, and she said, Tom, would you like a glass of water? And he said, well, yeah, I think I will. And so she gets a glass of water and comes in and throws it on him in the bed. And he jumped up and said, I'll kill you. Chased her around the house for a little while. I think she actually thought he was serious about that. Amen. I thought that was so hilarious. But then she got up and she started talking about him. And she had a little song that she wanted them to sing. And she said in front of that whole group, she said, Tom, I want you to know I love you with my whole heart. And it brought tears to my eyes. Amen, because that's what true love is really all about. And they've got their physical problems. Brother Johnson just had a heart attack a few months ago, and he's doing all right. Thank the Lord for that. But the day comes when you're not able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. You might have to put a ladder up and go that way. But you can still express yourself. And folks, we've got to learn to express ourselves to God. We've got to look at that word, because. I love the Lord because. And there is a reason and an underlying motive that we have when we approach how we feel about God. And so then next comes that solid part of worship, And there are feelings of love and emotion, but those feelings of love and emotion are here and they're not here. Amen. When something resonates, when a song resonates with us, you can tell the whole church, it resonates with everybody at once. And we all get caught up in the emotion and the worship of God. And if you've noticed, the Lord gets excited about that. Because when we do that, He comes into our midst. He inhabits the praise of His people. He loves it when we get excited about Him. I love it when folks get excited about me. And so do you. Amen. When somebody comes up and tells you, "My, you know what, I really think a lot of you because," and then they've got a reason for that. You know, it just lifts your spirit right up. It really does. It lifts your spirit right up, and it kind of catches you up in the emotion of the moment. And but those things are fleeting, and there is another area of love, and that is your intellect. Amen. God has given each of us a measure of our intellect, and it is the ability of the mind to reason and to think things through. Praise God. He said, "I will worship," David said in Psalm 138 there, and verse 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Amen. And so David said, "I will worship and I will praise you because," or it's in this particular verse, it is the word "for." Amen. But it really means because of thy loving kindness and because of your truth. Amen. That word "truth" there means true, no error, absolute correctness. Amen. And so I'm not just overlooking faults. You know, when we fall in love with someone and get married, we have a tendency to overlook faults. Amen. Praise the Lord. You overlook their faults and you say, "Well, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not going to talk about that. Go there." But you know what? When we come to the Lord and we start examining Him, we understand where truth comes from, because God has no faults. He has no faults. The Lord has no faults. Amen. He is absolutely truth personified. He has no error and is absolutely correct in every way. And Jesus prayed, and He said about His disciples when He prayed, and He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Amen. And so we not only have to say, "I worship God," or "I praise God because I love Him," or "because He loves me," but "I'm going to praise Him because He has given me truth in my life." Truth is something that supersedes emotions. Praise the Lord. You got to get to the place where you're not emotional about some things. And some of the things we get emotional about is when we fail God. Amen. And we get emotional about that, and we say, "Well, it's so bad that God can't forgive me. I'm not worthy. I can't do anything for God because of this, that, or the other." But I'm telling you this morning, you got to get your nose into the book. Praise God. You got to get into the Word of God and say, "What does the Word say about this?" And the Word says, "If any of you fall," or "if any man sin," rather, "we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Not just a few, but all unrighteousness. And so when we fall short, we've got to go back to the Word. Amen. I've seen folks that will not worship because they don't feel like worshiping. Maybe they're tired, or maybe they've got a headache, or there's a myriad of things that can come along that will tell you, you just back off just a little bit in your expression to God. But I'm telling you, you can worship God with a headache and not feel anything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can express your love even though you don't feel love. You can express to God now. I'm talking about to the Lord. You can express to the Lord how you feel when you don't feel like telling Him how you feel. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Sister Chelsea, you're going to have to tell your pastor when you get home how crazy we are up here. Or how crazy the pastor is up here. I love Brother and Sister Sora. We've been down there and preached for them a few times, and I love them. I told him the other day, he said they were going to be here for our 25th anniversary services, and I told him I felt really bad that we weren't able to make it to his, and because we consider them to be our friends. Amen. Real friends. Jesus said John 8 and 32, He said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We believe that this morning. You shall know the truth. Amen. Not hear the truth only, but we know the truth. You shall know the truth. And so we're going from emotions, we're going from feelings of love, and now we are involved in intellect here. There are some things that we need to know. When we was at the PEAK meeting and they were talking about the Bible quizzing students, they had statistics of how many of the Bible quizzing students, after they grew up, they lived for God and they walked with God. And it was a very high percentage. I think it was like 80%. I don't remember exactly what the percentage was, but it was a high percentage. And those that left the church came back, and it was a very high percentage. Because it's not, my dad and my mom go to that church. My grandma went to church. And so I go to church because it's what our family does. But you've got to get a little bit deeper than that, actually a lot deeper than that. It's got to come down to the word because. Amen. Maybe you could title that this morning, because. Praise God. I had a different title on it, but that's all right. We'll just talk about because. And so the word make there means to liberate. Some folks quote the scripture and they said, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free." But it doesn't say that. It says it shall make you free. Amen. When you are set free, you are released from your prison cell. But that doesn't mean you're not going to go out and do another crime. Praise God. And it happens all the time. They are set free, and then they go out and commit the same crime. Not all folks do that, but there is a high percentage that does that. Amen. Because they were just set free. Amen. I thank God that He set me free from bondage, that He set me free. He opened the prison cell, and He said, you are free to go. I'm thankful for that. But I need more than just being set free. I need to be made free. And the way that we are made free is we will know the truth. Praise God. If you've got a problem borrowing money, and they say that. Well, I don't want to get too personal here this morning, but let's just say it this way: you borrowed more than you could afford, and the bank came along and said, "We're gonna set you free from this loan. We're not gonna make you pay it back." You'd get pretty excited about that, wouldn't you? Excuse me. But if you don't have some financial principles in your life, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back and borrow more. Amen. You're going to get in debt again. Amen. Because you have not dug deep into the principles of financial blessings. And there are principles of financial blessings. Amen. I'm just using that as an example this morning of spiritual things. Praise God. We come to God. We may have a lying tongue, and we lied a lot. But if all the Lord did was say, "I'm going to forgive you of your lies from here backwards, and you're free to go," you know what's going to happen is eventually you're going to go back to lying again. You're going to go back to that besetting sin that the Bible talks about, and you're going to go back to it again, and you're going to find yourself in bondage again. Just like the Bible says, the pig that goes back to the mud in the pit. Amen. What I need is to be changed from a hog to something that understands what's really going on around me. And the only way that you can get a handle on that is through the knowledge of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that makes us. It is the Word of God that builds us. It is the Word of God that gives us the height and the breadth and the depth, and to know the knowledge of the love of God in our hearts and in our lives. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning because, you know, we've got to know why we're loving God, why we serve God, why we give to God, all of the areas of living for God. We've got to have an answer to this word, because. Amen. I love the Lord because. Amen. I'm not just set free. I am set free. But praise God, He has made me free. Amen. He has made me free. I used to have bad credit. I couldn't borrow any money. I always paid my bills back. They got their money back. But I was always late on my bills, and I heard a message about that, and said if you are late with your commitments, you can be early with your commitments. You know, some people are always 1 minute late to work. Amen. Now maybe I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. Always 1 minute late, maybe 5 minutes late, never early. But you know what? If you can be late, you can be early. It just makes the difference of getting up a little bit earlier. 2 or 3 minutes earlier than you can be 2 or 3 minutes earlier to work, right? And I got to thinking about that. Truth began to come into my mind, and I said to myself, you know what, if I can be 2 days late on my payments, I can be 2 days early on my payments. I just have to make up my mind that this is what I'm going to do. And so I started doing that, and I'm very thankful. Today I have very good credit. I can buy anything I want. You know what that credit thing is? It helps you in a lot of ways, but it is the privilege of getting into debt. That's what your credit score is. It's the privilege that they give you to go into debt. Amen. Well, you're such a good person, we're going to let you go into debt $1 million. Wow, they must think I'm a great person. No. No, they see opportunity. Amen. And they strike while the iron's hot. Amen. David said in Psalm 150, and you don't have to turn there, but he said, I will praise you for, I will praise him for his excellent greatness. And so that word for there again, because of his great and mighty excellence. We serve an excellent God this morning. I want to be liberated. Amen. I want to be liberated. I don't want to go back again. When they liberated those folks from Auschwitz, they were killing them. They were burning them in the furnaces. And millions of Jews perished in those concentration camps. When they came, they didn't just set them free. They liberated them. They liberated them. And you know what else they did? And I won't get off on a rabbit trail. I'm almost finished here this morning. But you know what else they did? They took the people, the Germans, that lived in the cities around Auschwitz. And they brought them to that concentration camp where there were carts that had piles of bodies on it, where there were starving people on the side of the streets, and they made them walk through those camps and see what they had done. That's quite a deal. They forced them to walk through, and if you've ever seen a little clip of it, some of them were so horrified they held their faces like this. They did not want to look at the horrid scene that they had caused. And what it was for, they did that so that there would be a memory in the minds of those people of what they had done. You know, every now and then we just got to look at our walk with God and say, God, I really offended you. God, I was far, far away from you. Amen. I can see myself as I really am, but I want you to know I've been liberated. Praise God. I'm not there anymore. Germany's not there anymore. Thank the Lord. They're not rising up to conquer anymore. Amen. Because they saw where they had come from and what they had allowed to take place. Praise God. It makes us free. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everybody said passed away. Passed away. We say that when someone dies. They passed away. They passed away. They are now gone. They will not be back in this life. And it's a very finite. It is a very, very finite thing. When I was chaplain here in the police department for 4 years, there was a few times that we had to go and announce the death of someone. And in my training, they trained us that when you go, and it was a little bit more stern than passed away, we had to say, your husband is dead. We had to get right down to the point. So that they could handle the gravity of this at that very moment. And, you know, the Bible talks about us being dead in Christ. That means that we have dealt with those old things in our lives, and we're not serving God now by emotion only or by love, the feelings of love only, but now we are serving God because we have understood. Amen. We understand what we didn't understand before. Amen. The Word of God. He said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you've got the old and you've got the new. Thank the Lord for truth this morning. You know where the born-again experience comes from? It comes from the Word of God. How can they believe except they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? Amen. It's the Word of God that brought us to this born-again experience. Amen. The Scripture says we are washed by the water of the Word. Amen. We are saved by the Word of God or the gospel. Amen. And so when the word comes to us. Think about this morning. When you were lost in sin and you made your way to the altar because you found out how to be saved from your sins. Somebody talked to you about the Word of God and the simplicity of the gospel got into your mind and into your heart, and you said, I need the Holy Ghost. I need to be baptized. I need to repent of my sins. And you came to an altar and gave your life to God. Amen. And we became what we call, or Scripture calls, a believer. Amen. The unbelieving are headed to somewhere else, and we don't even want to go there this morning. It's going to be a terrible, terrible place where the unbelieving go. But what are we believing? If we're a believer, what do you believe? Amen. If someone is talking to you about the Lord and they say, I'm a believer, you know, we can put a sign on us, say, I'm a believer. Well, what do you believe? Amen. What do you believe? Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's a good start, but brother, after you've been serving God for a little while, you need to have some more depth to your beliefs. Praise God. You need to get into the height and the depth and the breadth of the Word of God so that you're not motivated by emotion and motivated by a temporary feeling of love. It's got to get down to because. Amen. I love the Lord because, and here is the reason. And isn't that exciting? Amen. That the truth will make us free. And so the more you study the Word of God, the more you get into the book and understand the will of God and the vastness of God, amen. I'm telling you, it's supposed to get more and more exciting. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. There you go. It's feelings. Nobody's going to hurt the Word of God in your heart. Nobody's going to steal the Word of God out of your heart. Amen. They may steal some emotion. They may hurt you emotionally. But I'm telling you this morning, if you get the Word in your heart, you can have negative things happen. And yes, they can happen in the church as well. But I'm telling you what, if you've got the Word of God down deep in your heart, it will supersede emotion and it will supersede a temporary feeling of love. Amen. I've had friends in the church that decided they didn't want to be my friend anymore. Can you imagine that? As nice and sweet and kind as I am. Don't look at me that way. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you've had the same thing happen multiple times. You know why? Because there are folks that have not dealt with that because situation. They love the Lord because I like the pastor. I go to church because I get fed, you know. I get fed. I love the Lord because, you know, I'm sick and I need healing, and so I'm going to tell the Lord that I love Him. And by the way, Lord, would you heal me too? Amen. But you know what? I love the Lord because the closer and closer I get to the Word of God, you know, this is so very important. It really is. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, praise the Lord. You want to get closer to God? Get closer to His Word. And I'll tell you what, your emotions will come up, and your enthusiasm will come up. Praise God. Folks that don't eat regularly, they starve. And we've got folks that are starving on the pew. Amen. Because a whole week goes by and there's no word that's put into their heart. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, what we've got to do is we've got to get down deep into the Word of God. Amen. We've got to let it make our emotions rise, and it makes our love rise up in our hearts so that this relationship when we have our 50th anniversary together, amen, we can say, I love you with my whole heart. I love you with my whole heart. There's nothing about you, amen, that offends me. I love you, and I'm going to love you till the death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. David said, in the day that I cried, thou answerest me and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Praise God. That's where we've got to have our strength, is in our soul. Amen. When we cry, he hears. When we cry, he brings strength that goes all the way to your soul. Amen. And all I can say this morning is, wow, we serve an awesome God this morning. Let's stand together, can we? Amen. God's so good to us. Amen. I tell you, for me, I refuse to sit in the sidelines and be stuck in the mud. Amen. I'm going to get right in the big middle of the will of God. Amen. I want to be a major part of praising him with my whole heart. I don't want to just make it a church service experience. But when I'm going through the course of my day, I want to just tell him, I love you. I love you. Amen. Oh, well, I can't do that. You know, some folks can't say that because they look at the other individual and they say there's a flaw there. And because of that flaw, I can't really say I love you. They're going to take that as a license to continue what they're doing. You know what? Love supersedes all of that. I call it performance-based relationships. Gavin, I'll be your friend if you treat me right. I'll love you as long as you do this, that, and the other. As long as you give to me, I'll give back to you. As long as you toe the line. Amen. Somebody said that one time, that they were toeing the line. I don't want to live for God and toe the line. That sounds pretty bad to me. Toeing. That you're pulling that line. I'm just fighting every day, but I'm toeing the line. And then they look around and say, nobody else is toeing the line. Amen. Well, maybe you need to let go of the rope. Amen. And just relax a little bit and get out of the kitchen and sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the word of God. And he said, you have chosen the good part that's not going to be taken away from you. Well, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you for your word this morning. Praise God. Praise God.